The recording has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the BC Members Call on Thursday, March 1st, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants and attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. On the phone bridge, we have Marcus Eke and Lawrence Olawale-Roberts. If there's anyone else who has just joined via the phone bridge and not the Adobe Connect room, please let your name be known now.
Yeah, thank you, Chantal.
Thank you. Hearing no further names, I'd like to remind everyone to please state your name for the transcript. And with that, I will turn it over to Claudia to start the call. Claudia, please begin.
Thank you very much, Claudia Sally, for the record. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining the call. You might receive in a few minutes the AIRSAC review. That the assessment report was published this week. They are seeking for comments and feedback by the 23rd of March, so I just circulated it to the BC, but I guess we might talk it about it probably in a few minutes. You have in front of you all the agenda, so in the interest of time, and since we have a quite long agenda, I would leave the floor to Steve.
Thank you, Claudia. You folks have all received the policy calendar, which we circulated yesterday. And I would ask Chantel, welcome back, Chantel, by the way. And you can all have the policy calendar in front of you. There's only one item on channel one I wanted to call your attention to. There were no public comment submissions since our last call, because as you know, ICANN slows down the public comment process leading into each of its meetings, knowing that people are preparing for a meeting and travel. What we did file on February 27th is a joint letter with the intellectual property constituency, or the IPC, and it was a letter to ICANN where we articulated some concerns with the verbally described proposed interim model for GDPR compliance. And who is? I just sent a note to all of you moments ago that ICANN published that proposed interim model last night, and what they published matches what I had described in the document and what we had anticipated. And that means we are extremely disappointed. The proposed interim model does not display the registrant's email and would apply to both natural and legal persons, and registrars and registries could apply it anywhere in the world, not just to Europeans. Now, the bulk access is available only on the public available who is, not to the non-public, and there's really no description of a way for private actors, for cybersecurity or consumer protection purposes, to get into that certification list. So I would suggest that that ICANN has largely ignored the concerns of who is users in coming up with what's in the public who is and how broadly it's applied. So our work will be cut out for us because, as Joran said in his blog, this is published in order to solicit reaction and, more importantly, I think, to put it in front of Article 29 and DPAs to see whether they would approve it. I wanted to let you know that we've worked very hard on this late in January and again last week. BC and the IPC held webinars with ICANN executives and staff in attendance where we respectfully but persistently harped on the need to have a registrant email in the publicly displayed who is, limited scope, and the application to natural persons but not to legal persons. And I think I have to say we've lost on all counts. But it ain't over. It ain't over till it's over. And we have time to muster a concerted response. And we'll also be able to focus the BC's efforts when we get to San Juan, since the BC and the GAC are co-hosting a session on that. I'll get to that later in the policy calendar when we discuss what's going to be happening in San Juan. I did want to do a special shout-out to Denise Michelle and Margie Milam, who have been really helpful as members of the BC working with working with folks in the IPC. Claudia was also a speaker at the webinar we held last week, as was Tim Chen from Domain Tools, who's just a superb presenter of the need for Whois access, particularly reverse lookup, to be able to mitigate cybersecurity threats. Susan Kawaguchi and Marie Patul have also been really helpful on those efforts. All right, so that's it for Channel 1 publication since our last. I wanted to let you know about three open public comment periods. The first is the ICANN FY19 Operating Plan and Budget. That comment period closes on the 8th of March, so early next week. I wanted to thank Jimson for drafting a BC comment. It's only a page or so long. It's the first attachment to the policy calendar that I circulated yesterday. We do need comments back from BC members, and in particular the Finance Committee, before March the 8th. I'll stop here and see whether Jimson would like to say anything more about that draft comment and whether BC members have any questions. Jimson?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Basically, in FY19, I can looking at cutting the budget, some of the key activities that serve our needs, like crop. So we're trying to push back. Crop has been quite beneficial to the BC in growing our membership and recruiting new players. And also on the reserve fund, we're also emphasizing our earlier recommendation that the reserve fund might need to be adjusted, you know, through the funding mechanism we have right now, maybe through the option proceeds and the new BTRD funds that we have. So we just emphasize that, among many others. But I believe the Finance Committee will come up with more inputs as we go on. But the budget this year, FY18, has been about 134, even though it was 140 that was budgeted for, but the actual is coming to 134. And for FY19, they are proposing 138. So 138 is what is proposed. And it wants to be flat under 140. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Jimson. Was there a continued budgeting for the couple of $100,000 for deployment of the Open Data Initiative? Is that still alive? Jimson,
yes,
is the ODI still alive?
Yes, the ODI, that's one of the key feedback I would like to get when we meet with Conrad at San Juan. Just like a number of cutbacks for the ODI, I'm not sure. I've not seen it on the budget line. I've not seen it, so.
It is a very tiny number. It was only about $200,000, and therefore it might not be available in the limited detail that's there. Jimson, I would ask a favor is if you could fire off an email to ICANN Financial to see whether, or even David Conrad, to see if he will let us know that ODI is funded at the promised level in this budget, since it's not available in the actual publication. I'd appreciate knowing that. Any other questions? I see three hands up right now, and these are questions only on the BC comment regarding the budget. We'll first go to Marilyn Cade. Can't hear you,
thanks,
Marilyn.
Marilyn speaking. I'm hoping you can now.
We do. Thank you.
I just wanted to follow up that I have done comments. I thought I had sent them out, but it turns out I had not. Thank you, Jimson, for alerting me to that. They're detailed. I'll go through them with the Finance Committee and make some significant cuts. But I did earlier send a kind of a heads up to the Executive Committee about the work of the Standing Committee of the Council on Budget. That is yet to be approved, of course, by the counselors, but that document is almost final, and I put a small summary of some of the discussions in the email I sent. I'm happy to take questions if anyone has them by email or follow up in any way. The council is expected to send whatever the final document is without objection. So they won't be voting on it. They'll be cutting out any areas that they don't fully support. Crop is one of the topics that is still being discussed on whether it will be left in or all of the community support references might be removed and left up to the constituencies to address.
Marilyn, Steve, thank you for that. I did read with interest your report on that, but we're really doing this backwards through no fault of yours or anyone else, but the constituencies, if we had concerns about the budget, I would love to see council amplify those concerns when council puts its message in. But given the timing, we're still several days away from approving the VC's own position on the budget, so even our councilors don't yet know what to push for, and those of you on that standing committee don't know what the VC's concerns are. So I would say at a high level, which is crop, but I would ask you to help us ensure that we see the reserves funded and that we see that that we maintain funding for open data initiative. Are there anything else that folks want to speak to on that?
Sorry, Steve, just so quickly, there is a paragraph that I'm confident will stay in the letter, which addresses the fact that there may not be sufficient budget allocation for certain follow-on work or even policy development work, not with a figure put to it, but highlighting that as a significant concern. And I share your point about the doing it backward, but the terms of reference for the standing committee are really focused on the policy coordination and management role.
Thank you. Denise Michelle.
Hi. My line doesn't seem to be very good. Can you hear me okay?
We do. Thank you.
Great. I just wanted to note, and I'll be sending some additional text for Jimson's consideration for inclusion. I think given that this is the business constituency, bringing some basic business budgeting and staffing practices and expenditure practices to the ICANN budget is in order. I'm particularly concerned that this budget has unrealistically optimistic revenue projections given past shortfalls and declining revenues of coming in from new GTLDs. I'm also concerned about the level of reserve funds. And then finally, there is an exponentially increasing staff costs there while cutting several projects and travel funds and other things that ICANN, they are substantially increasing staff costs. And so I think it would be very useful for the BC to provide some overarching comments and recommendations in that area. So I just wanted to flag that and note I'll be sending language right now to Jimson for consideration in the next draft of our comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. Two things. Anybody submitting edits to Jimson's draft should send them to the entire VC-private, because at this point we are just 7 days away from the close of the period. Jimson is the primary drafter and will be in charge of incorporating edits, but all VC members should see any comments that one submits. And the second thing, Denise, is regarding good audit and accounting practices. I wanted you to note in the Adobe chat, I pasted the paragraph that Jimson has in there regarding a sustainability audit and draft report. Next is Chris Wilson.
Thanks, Steve. I raised my hand because I really want to just flag for potential consideration by the BC one additional item in the budget that I think we might want to just make one sentence comment on, and that is the zeroing out of ICANN support for the ICANN Wiki. And I know this does not raise to the level of the same seriousness as Open Data Initiative, other things the BC cares about, so I'm not going to pretend that it does. But I do think it's something that we we should perhaps just raise a minor concern with, in light of the importance, I think, of the wiki. Amazon supports it, and how it's important, I think, for onboarding purposes, for new members, et cetera, and sort of consistent with our general philosophy of outreach and trying to get folks engaged with ICANN. You know, I don't know if it again raises the level of having our counselors push hard for it, but I do think it's good to be on the record as saying we're not pleased with the zeroing out. I think it's $100,000 line item, and you know, at least something general to the extent that we shouldn't be zeroing it out. You know, I'm happy to send a sentence around for everybody to look at, but I did want to just flag that for folks. If there is concern with us doing that, it'd be good to know now before I send something around, but wanted to make sure people are aware of it. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. I'll signal my agreement, and this would be a good time for anyone else to sound positive or negative with respect to ICANN Wiki. I noted in the chat that their table at the ICANN meetings is one of the more popular spots because they give out that newcomer-oriented brochure, but it's also popular with ICANN professionals, ICANN regulars. All right, nobody else in the queue on that? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. The second open public comment period is the plan to restart the root key signing key, or KSK rollover process. I told you about this on our last call, is that last September there was a pause in the KSK rollover, and now they have a new plan open for public comment. It's only a couple of pages long, and I want to thank volunteers Denise Michelle, Susan Kawaguchi, and Stephanie. I think you were going to pursue some technical assistance and advice from your colleague who's on the SSAC. And that comment period, I mean, we have time. It's not until the 2nd of April. It's a month away. But it would be good to think about that so that if we had a draft, we could discuss it while we're all together in San Juan. Again, thanks, Stephanie, for making that outreach. I see people typing in the chat. I'll give you a second. All right, the third is a draft procedure for these community GTLDs, those who obtained their status as a new GTLD as a community designation. And if you recall, a community designation meant that a community GTLD didn't have to compete with other strings that had been proposed by non-community actors. And those communities are both in the new GTLD program, as well as we had some leftovers from the sponsored TLD days. And if you recall, back in October of 2017, we commented on Dot Museum, one of the legacy sponsored TLDs, their request to change their community designation, and we suggested some concerns in a comment that Phil Corwin and I worked on. Now, the draft procedure that ICANN is put out for public comment is only 5 pages long, and we should try to recruit some volunteers on this call to help with that. In particular, I would look for volunteers that are familiar with the process of community designation or whose day jobs put you in touch with the kind of organizations that want to be designated as community to receive some preferential treatment in the next round. We also want to be careful that a community who takes advantage of the community designation doesn't simply change its spots the minute it wins the GTLD and shed all of the registrant protections, registrant restrictions that were part of the way they sold it to the community to begin with. So I'm going to look for volunteers who will tackle this one. Again, it's only a 5-page process. It's one where the BC has a lot of experience, and I've put a link to the previous BC comment. There are still hands up from Marilyn and Denise, so those hands to volunteer on this. Anybody else in the
Steve,
BC?
It's Marilyn.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Sorry. I will volunteer to work with others. I have some background in working with communities and NGOs, but it's somewhat old. So I think there need to be others that are more current than I am that might take the driving pin.
Got it. I agree. Anyone else? All right, I'll come back to folks when we're together in San Juan to press for that. And that's all for the open public comment periods. And I did want to remind everyone that with respect to the GDPR and who is, I have attached a link to a single page. I've done it in a Google Doc, and it's a page that I continually update with elements that are relevant to the BC in the area of GDPR and who is. So I don't paste the entirety of that document. It's now up to 9 pages. I don't paste the entirety of that into the policy calendar to make it a little easier for you to manage it. But I'm trying to update that document in real time. I'll do so today with regard to the proposed model that was published. But it matches nearly exactly with what ICANN had told us they were going to publish last Wednesday. I wanted to turn things over in Channel 2 to the GNSO Council, and we have Marie Petullo and Susan on the phone. Marie and Susan, over to you.
Thanks, Steve. This is Marie. Susan will jump in if I forget something. As you know, we had the council meeting last week. The most important thing to report back to you guys is on the WHOIS procedure, IAG, there was agreement from everybody to postpone the call for volunteers until June. Obviously, that's because most people who have expertise in WHOIS are kind of tied up on GDPR right now. And also, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to come in May. So it made a lot more sense to postpone that happening until June. Further to that, we, as you know, had a discussion when we were together in Los Angeles about the management of PDPs, about the timelines, about how things can get off the rails through no fault of PDP leadership. And so at the forthcoming meeting in San Juan, rather than having the PDP leadership report on where they are, they've been invited by the GNSO leadership to come to the council meeting to talk with us and us to talk with them as to how we can assist them in the management of the PDP. So not the substance, on the timelines, as I say, on what to do if and when things get out of hand. And the only other thing I would think to raise with you is that they, within council, are discussing the post-implementation review framework. Now, on the one hand, this could be a very dry academic thing that doesn't really concern us. On the other, there were certain comments made during this council that made Susan and I aware that we need to keep an eye on this to make sure it doesn't become a vehicle for anyone who's got a gripe just to demand yet another review of something, claiming it's not working without it being anything at all, without anything substantive. Now, that's pretty much all I have to report, but I think we still have Susan for the next 2 or 3 minutes. If you had anything to add, Susan, please do.
Just real quick, thank you, Marie. That was perfect. You know, we did the Standing Selection Committee nominated Rao for the SSR2, and I can't remember if we talked about this the last BC meeting, but we also made the recommendation in the motion that Scott McCormick was already vetted and approved by the committee and should be, if need be, is ready and willing to serve on the SSR2 also.
Thank you, Susan and Marie. Any update on Council's progress at trying to convince the other ACNSO leaders to restart the Security, Stability, and Resiliency Review?
That still seems to be stalled. One of the replacement of the GNSO candidate, you know, James Gannon's seat, was one of the stalling factors we found out in January, which I didn't quite understand that. They felt like they needed that seat replaced before they could suggest other candidates from their own communities, which didn't really make much sense to me. But so they were all relieved that when Heather delivered that news. And then I know some sort of communication came out, but it didn't seem to really make things move forward much.
Susan, it's Steve. Follow-up question. The GNSO has sort of taken a lead in this, but we're only one of the many ACs and SOs. Is there a particular AC and SO that's holding things up that we can gently nudge as we get into San Juan?
Yes. I think if we could influence Alan Greenberg of ALAC, there seems to be he seems to participate a lot, let's put it that way, in wanting to review the SSR2 team, and then obviously ESSAC. But Rod Rasmussen, you know, the change of hands, you know, leading ESSAC, to Rod, I think is a good thing for the situation. So if we could have more discussion with Rod, I think that would help.
Any other questions for Susan and for Marie? All right, thanks very much. We'll proceed to Channel 3. And for this, Barbara, I wanted to turn over to you to start it off with respect to the upcoming work at ICANN, at the ICANN San Juan.
Thanks very much, Steve. I'll try. I won't go through the blow-by-blow of the schedule since you now have it. Steve very kindly included it as an attachment. I'd really just like to focus your time today on where the BC's input can help make the CSG meetings more useful or worthwhile to everyone. So according to the agenda, again, that Steve attached, the proposed agenda for CSG meetings, it basically follows the format and the procedures that we had for the Abu Dhabi meeting. Unfortunately, our first meeting with Becky and Matthew is on Saturday at 8:30. It's scheduled at 8:30 a.m. However, we're trying to get that moved up to 8 a.m. The reason for that is, and there was a lot of discontent expressed in Abu Dhabi about this, is that the board has a workshop that begins at 9 o'clock, so we would only be limited to 30 minutes. So the thinking is that because there will not be sufficient audiovisual capabilities at 8 o'clock in the morning, that we would have a quote-unquote informal conversation with them, informal engagement to from 8 to 8:30, and then focus the 8:30 to 9 period for priority items, so that those who are participating remotely can have access to that conversation. In terms of some of the topics we talked about raising with Becky and Matthew, again, SSR2 was mentioned, and I defer to Steve and Denise and Susan and Marie how they want to handle it in light of the report that Susan just gave. The BC was asked to sort of do the lead questioning on that. In terms of the GNSO review, Tony Holmes, the ISPCP, will lead that. And then GDPR, Vicky of the IPC, but I would encourage us not to be shy on that either. So I would appreciate some input as to whether we want to, how the extent to which we want to explore the SSR2 problems, not only with our board members, but with the ICANN board and Joran in our other meetings. You're happy to. You're welcome to provide that feedback to me via email if that's easier. Our closed...
Barbara, on that point?
Yeah.
Before we move on, Barbara, would you take a quick intervention? I think that the board already messed up by hitting the pause button on SSR2, but at this point, it has nothing to do with the board, right? It's entirely in the hands of community leadership. We got the board to back off, so unless there's a compelling reason, I think the last thing we want to do to discuss restarting SSR2 with ICANN. It's nothing to do with the management or the board.
Okay, great. That was my thinking as well, but I wanted to, you know, get your feedback from the BC on this. So then, Steve, I would encourage you to collaborate with Vicky then in terms of how we want to discuss our concerns with GDPR, who is, with Becky and
great.
Matthew.
Great.
This also moves into our closed meeting with the CSG closed meeting, which will be on March 11 from 5 to 6:30. That will be largely focused on preparing for our meeting with the board, and will follow what we did last time, what we did in Abu Dhabi, which would be to devote 45 minutes to a common presentation on GDPR who is concerns. And Steve, I will keep you apprised of this. There was talk about having a call among the three constituencies ahead of time because the IPC has concerns with the ECHO model, which the ISPCP supports, and the ISPCP is not all entirely aligned with what the IPC and the BC favor for GDPR who is. So that I think
Barbara, ICANN published the proposed model. Maybe you weren't on the call. They published it last night. And the proposed interim model is now the topic of discussion. There isn't any longer a relevant discussion of ECHO model or other models.
Okay.
We now have ICANN's proposal, and that's what we need to react to.
Okay, very good. Then I will. I still think it would be useful for the three constituencies to have a quick call before Puerto Rico is to get our messages aligned on how we present to the board. Then the business constituency will have 15 minutes for our own priority topic to raise with the board. On that note, I welcome BC comments on what we should focus on. Okay. All right, in terms of our open meeting, we have requested 30 minutes with Joran. And then, surprise, surprise, GDPR also was likely will be the topic that we'll focus on. But then this is something that the ISPCP wants to pursue, process dependencies regarding the RPM and RDS PDP. I don't quite understand what they're getting at other than to say that they have concerns about where ICANN is headed with these PDPs. Would they be wrapped up before there would be a new rollout, something to that effect? But in any event, we will also we have also requested 30 minutes for the whiteboarding session with Teresa Swinehart and her MSSI team for the strategic discussion. That would leave another 30 minutes for the CSG open meeting. Again, would solicit BC feedback on how you want to focus that final 30 minutes. I think it would be useful to have the finance team make a presentation in light of some of the issues that Jimson raised with respect to our comments on the budget. The NOMCOM has also put in a request to meet with the CSG and the BC. So I would welcome your comments on where you feel we should focus that final 30 minutes of the CSG open meeting. In terms of our meeting with the board.
Do you want to queue on that now? Does anyone want to give Barbara some feedback now? Any ideas for Barbara on the focus with respect to that?
For the BC's 15 minutes alone with the board.
Keep in mind that I was yesterday or the last 3 days with a couple of board members at the Internet and Jurisdiction Conference. And board member for GNSO, Becky Burr, is definitely, I think, the most educated board member with respect to GDPR and who is. And so anytime we have with Becky Burr, let's use that to probe deeply into the motives and process that ICANN's using, as well as understanding how we might influence adjustments that will be made in the proposed interim model before it becomes the official interim model.
Okay.
No, that may be more appropriate for the private time that we have with Matthew Shears and Becky Burr. Is that still set up for Sunday, Barbara?
No, as I said, that is we kick things off with them on Saturday, the 10th.
Saturday, then.
At, 8 to 9, very early in the morning.
Well, then I would have to say that the GDPR discussion should be saved for Becky on Saturday, since we'll get the most information back, and then we don't have to necessarily do it in front of the full board. Any other ideas from BC members to help help Barbara in the planning work that she does as our CSG liaison? Okay, Barbara, continue with your agenda.
Okay, then we move to our board meeting. We'll also, I should note, too, in terms of the schedule, we'll have a very early BC closed meeting on constituency day, which is Tuesday, so we can also refine some of these approaches as well in terms of how we want to focus that board time. But in terms of our actual meeting with the board, of course, we've already talked about the 45 minutes devoted to GDPR, and then we'll decide how we want to focus that 15 minutes. I had proposed in our discussions at the intersessional with the XCOM, I had proposed that we sort of ask a question that hopefully would engender more positive engagement with the board, and that is to simply ask them what we can provide them in terms of information, interaction, and so forth that would be useful and informative on the occasions that we have to engage with them at intersessional meetings, at ICANN meetings, et cetera. And then a second question we might also focus on would, again, be the budget constraints. But let's see. Okay, I thought I saw some people typing in the chat, but maybe not. So something for us to maybe firm up when we have our closed meeting on Tuesday morning. And then finally, we'll meet with the contracted party house on the 14th of March And again, I imagine GDPR WHOIS will also be the central point of discussion. Wolf Ulrich probably will lead the discussion about the procedures for selecting board seats number 13 and number 14. So that's it pretty much for our CSG meetings. I just also wanted to add with a group that Michael Karanikolas, who I worked with on the transparency subgroup, is planning a cross-community session that will look at transparency in ICANN's data and information, and he reached out to the BC and wanted to know if anybody was interested in being a participant on that workshop. The basic format would be an introduction to open data, its uses and benefits, but I think he really wants the perspective of a business user. So if you would be interested in participating on that cross-community session, please let me know, and I'm happy to put you in touch with Michael. I also got a request actually from Donna Austin, who is planning the cross-community session on walking in the shoes of a data registry or something. I don't know what she calls it. But in any event, she also is looking for a participant from the commercial stakeholders group. Farzaneh will participate on behalf of the NCSG. A walk in the shoes of a GTLD registry operator. That's the name of the session. And she mentions that a number of registry operators have volunteered to participate, .bank, .berlin, .newstar, .pharmacy. She said there are two ways to participate, either actually be on the panel or to be prepared at the mic to ask questions from the floor. So I just thought I would mention that and encourage you to let me know if you have any interest, and I can put you in contact with Donna. And then finally, just to remind everybody that there's a webinar, sort of a pre-ICANN 61 webinar in Washington, D.C. It's this afternoon at 2 p.m. So there you have it. I can provide you with the link if you don't have it. And I think that wraps up my report, Steve.
Margie Milam, your hand is up.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me okay?
We do.
Okay. Regarding the discussions with the board, separate from GDPR, I think it would be important to highlight what's going on with Port 43 and some of the severe throttling, and under the name of fighting spam, because I just want to bring the whole BC to this issue. If we solve the GDPR issue, however it gets done with a new model, that doesn't necessarily mean that the information would still be accessible if registries and registrars can use spam as a reason not to provide that information. And that's happened already, and I think it's an issue that we shouldn't let slide. So that would be my suggestion on something to address beyond the GDPR issue.
Thanks, Margie. If you could come up with a sentence or two to document that and send it to BC Private, then we'd all be more familiar with the vocabulary so that we could translate Port 43 access to its practical application, which is, I guess, bulk access for purposes of a lot of different uses. But also, what do you mean by throttling? And do we have any specific instances we could cite where registrars or thick registries are quote-unquote throttling access? So can you provide us a quick email on that over the next couple of days?
Yes, I can.
That would be perfect. And Tim Chen, if you've got access to particular examples, the kind of things that you described in the webinar that we did last week, that would be particularly helpful, since we in the BC want to do everything we can to differentiate the consumer protection and cybersecurity threat mitigation that BC members do, and let that be distinct from the more brand protection rhetoric that comes from the IPC. They're both users and legitimate users of WHOIS, but the BC has a unique perspective. Any other questions for Barbara? While we have Channel 3 on the screen in front of you, I would ask each of you to turn to page 3 of the policy calendar, and I've listed a proposed outline for the cross-community session on GDPR and WHOIS that will occur the Monday afternoon we're in San Juan. This is a session that was co-proposed, that is to say both the BC and the GAC proposed it. So we're going to be working it together on Monday, March the 12th. And I'm sorry, it is in the morning, at 10:30 in the morning. So we'll have an hour and a half. So on the screen in front of you, you see the proposed outline that Manal and I worked out. We were together at the Internet Jurisdiction Conference the last couple of days. So it starts off with letting, hopefully, somebody from ICANN walk us through a description of that proposed draft interim model, but I'll have slides done to capture what it is, and then a gap analysis. And I have several parties that would present their perceived gaps. A European DPA will invite, but God knows if anyone will speak up and attend. I know that registries and registrars, one of each, presumably from Europe, would speak. Law enforcement authorities, Catherine Bauer-Bolst or some other group, and then business users of WHOIS. And that's where, for instance, Tim Chen, your name came up as an ideal panelist for that. Tim, can I confirm you will be in San Juan on Monday? Excellent. Thank you. We also have non-commercial. We have to include them, as well as hopefully we get an at-large user as well. So I'm waiting for some feedback from the GAC on this proposed outline. The third element and final element of that session would be something I've done on a couple of other webinars, which is a quick reminder to everybody that interim means interim. Interim means it is temporary, and there are three things the community can do to wipe out and replace the interim model, and that is to resume and complete our work on the RDS PDP, which automatically becomes mandatory for all contract parties to follow. It isn't as if they could ignore consensus policy. The other is enhancements to the privacy and proxy services, the implementation that's a report that we're expecting next week, and then finally a new procedure for who is conflicts with privacy law. We're trying to adjust what the trigger is. That's the procedure that Marie talked about earlier. Any suggestions for the organization of that session or panelists? I'd love to hear from you. If you don't have them now, send to reply to me via email so I can help to coordinate that session. Claudia, back to you for the rest of the agenda.
Thank you, Steve. Do we have the agenda? Chantal, can we put on the agenda, please? Okay, sorry. For the BC meeting in San Juan, Chantal is helping on this, and we have sent out requests for meetings as we consulted with the BC. So we're going to have for now a 30 minutes the MSSI strategic session with Natalie Vergnol and Teresa Swiner on the BC Open Meeting. Always on the BC Open Meeting in the afternoon from 4:25 more or less, and 4:40 we're going to have Xavier and the team joining. We're waiting for the confirmation, but it should be okay. And then we have David Conrad always in the afternoon from 5 to 5:20, still to be confirmed. And then we sent out a request for the meeting with Doran and John Jeffrey. We're waiting a confirmation of the meeting. And also, depending on the schedule, we have also asked a meeting with Heather on SSR2, and Akram and Sirius are moved to the BC private meeting because otherwise it was conflicting with the meeting with the ICANN board. We are also submitting requests to the co-chairs of the cross-community working group, but we don't have a meeting confirmed yet. If I forgot anything, please, Chantal or anyone else that has worked on that, jump in. But this is a rough overview of the BC Open Meeting. Are there any questions? No, so I would then give the floor to Jimson for his update on the finance report.
Okay, thank you very much, Audrey. Let me begin by really thanking Steve and team for the last webinar, well coordinated. Thank you for that. The BC financial position remains healthy with all members fully paid off. And talking about membership, I'm happy to inform us that membership has grown from 64 as at FY 17 to 70 members. And two new applications are under processing. I would like to thank the Andrew Mark-led Credentials Committee for job well done in an expeditious manner, treating all new applications promptly. Thank you. The two new members that joined Mrs. Mool of India and C-Panel of USA, they've been added to our database. Perhaps by the time we'll be having our next meeting, they'll be able to join us. The prep for the FY19 invoicing round has started. We started the preparation, and members can expect to receive their invoices at the end of April, so precisely by May 1st. With regard to operations, and with respect to the request for proposal we sent to the list earlier on setting up a backup facility for our website operation, we received only one response, and the ESCOM is evaluating the suitability of the proposal. Also, the BC outreach plan for ICANN 61, I believe, is still on course. Though, since Andrew Mark is on the call, he will give us an update. It's also expected to happen on Sunday, that's March 11th. And from all indication, Chris Modini, the Vice President Global Business Engagement, is underwriting the expenses for the event. So if Andrew is still on the call, perhaps he can give us more information about the outreach in San Juan, though I know that there are some challenges. Andrew, are you?
Yes, Jensen, I'm here, and thank you very much. Briefly, and I won't bore everybody with all of the details, but many more challenges than we had expected. We had a lot of the things that could have been challenges have been, including the fact that a number of the people that we are trying to work with have had problems with electricity and with cell phones and a lot of stuff. There's a we were expecting a formal approval of this event last night when the when Pablo Rodriguez, who is one of the people that runs .pr and has been our partner on this, was to go to the Chamber of Commerce with the head of the Chamber of Commerce and members of his committee and meet and formally approve this. What they found was that the Chamber of Commerce building is actually in such bad shape that they couldn't hold the event there, and in any case, they're having tremendous. This is going to be the chamber's first big event since the hurricane, and they were all excited about it. And they are having real challenges getting their people to anything and making touch with their people. The business climate is such right now that businesses are very focused on survival. I spoke with Pablo at some length this morning and then with Chris Mondini. And basically what they said is that there is real interest on behalf of the leadership of the chamber, but getting a big group of people like we would normally want to do is going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible, especially at this late date and especially with the problems, the physical problems, both with getting a bunch of people in the room and the room that they might have available at this point in time. So what they recommended was that we change. Chris said that almost every one of the constituencies is having exactly the same problem with their crop outreach, that almost all of them have been in the process of remaking their outreach plans for this meeting. And he recommended that since there's real interest on behalf of the chamber, that we try to be flexible and use the opportunity to meet with the chamber's leadership in a series of one-on-ones, two-on-twos, and things like that, which would be much easier to get together with the idea of building this relationship for the medium term. Everybody agrees that the San Juan Chamber and the Puerto Rican, Puerto Rican community is one that is good for us and a good fit for us. There's a lot of overlap between key members of the Chamber of Commerce and a lot of the key members of the BC, including a lot of U.S.-based companies that have a very big footprint in Puerto Rico and a disproportionately large footprint. So this is what both Pablo and Chris have suggested. I think it's a good plan. I've sent out some revised ideas both to the Outreach Committee and to XCOM for their consideration. But that is, frankly, the way things are right now in Puerto Rico. I might also say that in the realm of everything that could have possibly been a challenge, we also had poor Pablo had a health scare, which pushed us back a little bit. I'm giving you literally the information in real time because I just heard a lot of this morning. We've been pushing them as hard as we possibly can to get more information. But in the light of all of the different things that are going on, including the challenges that they're facing with power outages and such, you know, it's been difficult for us to push them any faster than we have. And so on my personal behalf and on behalf of the Outreach Committee, we apologize for not having more to you and more, you know, more finalized earlier. That was just the best that could be done under the strict circumstances. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Andrew, is there any possibility that we can invite, we could send a letter to the San Juan Chamber to invite them to an open meeting on March 13th?
We could absolutely do this. The thought, I think it's a great idea. There are two places where there will be some members of the BC who will be in San Juan early, and one of the things that we're working on right now is to try to get a meeting between any of our people who are available Saturday, Sunday, and the chamber leaders. There is also we've also spoken, Chris and I have spoken about the possibility of getting members of the leadership of the chamber to meet with us following the opening ceremonies, because there's a high likelihood that there will be a number of their leaders there for the opening ceremonies, and that would be a good way, and we will organize that. Chris is also committed to getting us the contact information for anybody anybody from the local community that is going to be attending as a business representative, so we can reach out to them directly. And everyone believes that there's going to be plenty of opportunities for us to get to people on the fly. It's just the idea of having a big sit-down with 20 or 25 people in the room, which is what we had originally envisioned. It just is going to be logistically very, very difficult for them to do their part on, and so they recommended we don't try to pursue that at this point in time. Chris has also committed there will be no cost to the BC of anything. We had already gotten his office's agreement to pay for anything that we were going to do on the planned Sunday event. So anything that we would do, like a cocktail if we can throw it together, or coffees or other meetings, are things that would fall well below that budget. So there will be no cost to the BC assuming that we pursue outreach in San Juan in whatever form we can.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, Andrew Mark. And lastly, just to let members know that we plan a recognition section on March 13th for Phil Cohen, a former officer, and one of our former officers as well. So just to have that in mind, that's the recognition session. Let me now hand over to Claudia. Claudia, back to you.
Thank you very much, Jimson. Anyone has any other point that you want to raise?
No, it seems that there are no other points. So I will thank you very much for participating to the call, and we'll see each other all in San Juan. The meeting is adjourned.